Well, let me ask you guys a question. Yeah, I know, right? Have you guys done anything stupid in your life? How many of you guys have ever done anything stupid? Yeah, that's what I thought, right? And so here's the deal. You know, I thought that when I was going through this message, unfortunately, I had a wealth of illustrations of just stupid stuff that I've done. And so on this initial, first talk about wisdom and making, wise decisions, I thought that I would just share with you the dumbest thing I've ever done story, okay? Really, I mean, this is really just the dumbest. I mean, have you ever had one of those moments, all right, where you know that filter that everybody else seems to have in that moment would have kicked in, because you don't have it? Have you ever had one of those moments where you wish that filter would have kicked in? Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those moments, seriously, because I just said the dumbest thing I've ever said in my life, all right? And seriously, that's what happened on this. And so actually, before I tell you exactly what it was that I said, I feel the need to sort of, preempt this story by telling you that I have learned from my mistake, okay? I have seriously learned from my mistake in that for the last 2 years, I have been apologizing for what I said. And I'm not even kidding. I've been apologizing to my wife, Brittany, for the last 2 years, okay? And so I'm just throwing that out there, want to let you know that ahead of time. So please don't send me any nasty emails about how big of a jerk I am or how much of an idiot I am, because I already know that, okay? Seriously. So here we go. A couple of years ago, about 2 years ago, my wife, Brittany, and I had one of the greatest experiences that anyone could ever have. It was the birth of our third son, Rhett. I mean, it was amazing. It was just awesome. We actually had one of those home births, which at the time I thought was completely nuts. Okay, really, I thought it was insane. Not to mention also, a little gross. Because when the midwife comes in and is like, "You might want to buy some shower curtain liners just to protect your bed from all the shenanigans that was going to happen there," That's not all that appealing, right? Not so much. But you know what? Everything turned out well, and it was great, and we've got a perfectly healthy baby boy, and so I can't be more thankful for that. But like I said, it was a couple years ago, and so right after, about 2 weeks after the baby was born, I decided that I wanted to take our family to Lifetime Fitness. You guys ever been there? If you've never been to Lifetime Fitness, it is actually the gym that I think that God himself would work out in, okay? I mean, it's that awesome. I love the place. I love all of the amenities, all right? I think it's just a cool, cool place, And so it was, like I said, it was 2 weeks after the baby was born. And so all of you parents, that after the baby's born, those duration of time, women's hormones drop from like a million to 10, right? During that time, right? Yeah. And so what is that time typically referred to as? Postpartum. Thank you very much. That's absolutely true. And so during this time, this postpartum time, I decide, because I'm like, Captain Obvious here, I decide that we're going to go hang out at the gym and just kind of relax out on the AstroTurf to just let the kids play, right? And so my wife and I are just relaxing there, sitting there. And so I haphazardly just bring up this whole agreement that my wife Brittany and I had made after having our third kid in 5 years, all right? That was idiot mistake number one, okay? Because the agreement that we had made was that I was finally going to be able to get snipped. I mean, I was, for some guys, that's like a traumatic, horrific experience, whatever. Not for me, all right? Really. I mean, it was like Christmas and Disneyland and, In-N-Out Burger all wrapped up into one. I was totally looking forward to this, right? Really, I truly was. I thought it was going to be amazing. So I just kind of haphazardly bring this up and say, "Hey, babe, you know what? I found the doctor that I want to use, I'm going to actually schedule the appointment for 2 weeks from now. It's going to be awesome, Just small talk type of stuff, right?" Do you know what she does? She immediately starts bawling. I mean, just tears are flowing. She is like wailing here. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with this woman? You know, what's going on? She's like, no, baby, I don't want you to. You know, it's not the right time. And I'm like, baby, we've had 3 kids, 5 years. There's no better time than the present. You know what I'm saying? We need to take care of this, right? And she's like, no, I still don't want you to. To which I said, idiot mistake number two, okay? To which I said, I don't care what you want, I'm going to do it anyway. And I know that every one of you ladies in here are looking at me and like want to stone me right now. You know, I know, I realize that. But here's the deal. Wait for it, because it gets worse. It does. And I know I'm not really setting myself up to really look like a good guy right now. I realize that. I am a jerk. I understand that. Because as soon as I said that, she starts bawling even more. I mean, she starts crying even harder, which guess what? That makes me even madder, you know, because I'm not, you know, the most sensitive guy in the world. And so I just get even madder. And so this is what I said. I said, Brittany, if you want another baby so bad, why don't you go find somebody else to have it with? Oh my gosh! As soon as that came out of my mouth, I realized I was the biggest idiot, knuckleheaded, stupidest jerk on the planet. Can I get an amen to that statement? Every lady in here is like, absolutely, amen. Because I was an idiot. I really was. And so needless to say, I did not get the operation done. All right, I didn't. And like I've told some of you before, I wanted 2 kids. She wanted 4 kids. We are now compromising at 4 kids, you know? It's basically, baby, whatever you want, you are going to have for the rest of your life, okay? Because I was the dumbest knucklehead on the planet. And see, I think that, you know, if we're all being honest, I think that if we would look back at some of the things that we've done, that we'd look back and we'd say, you know, what was I thinking, you know? Maybe not to that degree, because I am, you know, the biggest knucklehead in the room, but I do believe that we've probably all done things that maybe weren't the most wisest decisions at the time. Anybody with me on that? Anybody with me on? Yeah, I think so. I think we've all done that. And so this morning, here's the deal. Maybe you're here and you're just checking us out, man. You know, you're just saying, you know, I want to learn about this Jesus thing. And you're figuring out that the pastor's a jerk. And that's great. I'm glad you're here, you know. Maybe you'd say that, you know what, I have not yet crossed that line of faith. That I have not yet put my faith in Jesus. You know, I haven't done that yet. Maybe you're on the other side of that line where you'd say, you know what, I have done that. Rusty, that I have put my trust in Jesus, that I've been a Christian for 1 year or 10 years or 40 years or whatever it may be. Here's what I know to be true about every single one of us, regardless of where we're at on that faith journey. Here's what I know to be true, that we could all use a little bit more wisdom, right? We could all use a little bit more wisdom. And that is the reason why for the next 5 weeks, we are going to be going on this journey to find wisdom. We're going to be looking in God's Word to find wisdom. And so do me a favor, grab that outline out of your program there. Grab that outline out of your program and follow along, because we're going to look at the first opening passages of this book called Proverbs. All right, we're going to start looking at Proverbs, and here's the first 2 things that we're going to find out in these first 7 verses. 2 things: who wrote it, and what the purpose of the book is. All right, here's where we go. Let's go from there. Proverbs 1-7. It says, "These are the proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise." Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those who with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning in these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Go ahead and underline that name Solomon there. Underline that name Solomon. Because right up front, we get a glimpse. We find out who that the person that wrote this book, Proverbs, was this guy named Solomon. And in the Bible, he's often referred to as one of the wisest men who ever lived. And here's why. There's another book in the Old Testament called 2 Chronicles. You guys ever read 2 Chronicles? Yeah. There's this book in the Old, it's called 2 Chronicles. And in that book, we are privy to this story of when Solomon is crowned king. And so God sits up there and he says, okay, here's the deal, Solomon. Here's the deal. You are going to lead all of my people, and so you can have anything you want. Name it. Whatever you want, I will give it to you. And so Solomon is basically given this blank check that he could have anything that he wanted. And so he could have asked for military power. I mean, he could have asked for the greatest army in the world. He could have asked to be the richest man in the world. He could have asked for anything. But instead, here's what he asked for. 2 Chronicles 1:10, here's what he says. He says, Lord, grant me wisdom and understanding that I might lead your people well. And God granted him his wish. And so throughout the Bible, he is known as one of the wisest men to have ever lived. And we get the benefit of his insights and his writings that have lasted for thousands of years. And here's why. Because they work. Because they work, that these insights are true. They've lasted for all of these thousands of years. And the reason is because the book of Proverbs speaks to everyday life situations. There are 31 chapters in the Proverbs. There's 915 verses and over 100 different types of people discussed in this book. There are parenting lessons. There are time management lessons. There are lessons about our work ethic. There are financial lessons. There's all of these different types of lessons, and it all speaks to our everyday life. And so no matter what life stage you may be in, there is something in this book for you. And so here's my life stage. Maybe some of you can relate to this. I am a father. I'm a husband. I'm a father of three boys, young boys, 5, 3, and 1. Two of them are still in diapers. And so the technical term for my life stage is called hell, okay? Just letting you know that. That is often what it is referred to as. You might be in a different life stage, you know, where you no longer have to hear, you know, Daddy, will you help wipe me, you know? If that's the case, that's awesome. I'm so glad. I mean, maybe your kids are older. Maybe you're an empty nester. Maybe you're college, high school, single, whatever you are. There is something in this book for you, because here's what Proverbs are. Proverbs are brief, pithy, very memorable statements, insights into the human nature. And it takes a brilliant mind to be able to take such deep thoughts and make them so succinct in these small statements. And so do you know what we call modern day people that can write today's Proverbs? Do you know what we call those guys? Country Western songwriters, okay? Really, I mean, they really are. Seriously, I mean, check out these song titles. Here they are. It says, how can I miss you if you won't go away? That's great. That's awesome. Here's another one. I've got you on my conscience. And you have to say these with a twang, okay, by the way. I've got you on my conscience, but at least you're off my back. I love that. And so this is my favorite one. Here's my favorite one. Jesus loves you, but I don't, you know? So here's what I want to accomplish today. I want to give us a broad overview of the entire book of Proverbs, because as a church, we want to throw out a challenge. We want to throw out a challenge to every single one of us that starting today, that we all go on a journey to find wisdom in our life. And so not only am I going to ask you to commit to kind of being here on the weekends and kind of listening to the talks, you know, but I'm also going to ask you to read through the entire book of Proverbs. I'm going to ask you guys to embark on this journey with us together. And you know, as soon as I said that, some of you were like, absolutely, you know, no problem, you know, I got this, bro. Because here's the deal, you were like Bible sword drill champs of 1985 or something, you know, whatever it was. You've read this Bible cover to cover, you know it all. You are so on board. Yes, Rusty, I can do that, you know. But then others of you were like, when I said read a whole book, you're like, you know, a whole book? Rusty, I don't know if I can do that. You know, do you know the last time I read a book? You know? Here's the deal. I know that we can do this. I know that it will give us wisdom in our lives, because the reality is that it's 31 chapters of everyday, practical, real life stuff. And if you choose to embark on this, you will discover some really, really cool things. And so here in week one, my only desire today is to kind of set us up, is to kind of go through the book of Proverbs, just an overview of exactly what you're going to find when you choose to start reading through it on your own. All right? This is going to help us as we go and walk through this journey. And so here's the first thing I want to do. I want to look at three different types of statements, okay? Three different types of statements that you're going to find in the book of Proverbs. Now, in the Bible, there's a whole lot more than that, but we're just going to highlight three of them, all right? Rapid fire, here we go. Here's the first one. First one you're going to find is called laws. Laws are commands that I'm always supposed to follow. And you're going to find that laced throughout the Bible. Here's the second one, promises. Promises. These are guarantees of what God will do or what will happen. Again, throughout the Bible. And here's the last one, Proverbs. Memorable descriptions of the way things generally are. And so in order to illustrate this, I'm going to throw out a few different verses of Scripture. And I want you to tell me out loud whether you think that this is a law, a proverb, or a promise. All right? You guys can do that? All right, here we go. Here's the first one. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. What is that? It's a law, right? Good job. And so if it's a law, are there any exceptions to that? No. That God says that if you want a relationship with me, that if you want to follow me, here's the deal. That you can't be, you know, halfway in or out, right? This isn't, you know, hokey pokey Christianity, right? You know, you put your right arm in. You take your right arm out, right? You put your right arm in and? Yeah, you do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. That's what it's? Yeah, I just want to see if I can get you guys to do that. That's awesome. But it's really all or nothing. That's what it's. It's all or it's a law. Look at this next one. Here it is. Decide what this is. It says, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. What is that? It's a promise, right? And you know what's so awesome? Is there an exception to that one? No. We have one brave soul. There is no exception to that, and that is why this promise is so amazing. Because it doesn't matter how far you run. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter any of that, because you cannot run far enough to where God's love cannot reach you. That is why the promises of the Lord are so amazing, because there are no exceptions to it. Here's the last one. Here's what it says. It says, a bowl of vegetables with someone you love is better than a steak with someone you hate. What is that? That's actually a country western song. No, I'm kidding. It's a proverb. It is, but it could be a country western song, right? But it's a proverb. And so are there any exceptions to that one? Sure. Because, you know, when I read that, the first thing that pops into my head is like, you know, what kind of steak we talking about here, you know? Because I'll sit with just about anybody at Ruth Chris for an hour, right? Unless you're a Raider fan, and then I'm, you know, I'd rather have the vegetables. But they're generally true, all right? And so when you read these, you're going to find out that Proverbs aren't necessarily laws or promises that are always true, but that these Proverbs are often generally true. Here's the next thing I want to point out. Next thing. Proverbs are designed to make us think. They're designed to make us think about them. They require a little investigation, that we can't just, you know, rush through them. Because I'll tell you this, oftentimes when I read a proverb, I walk away from that, I'm like, what in the world did that just mean? You know? I still do that all the time. Let me give you an example. Proverbs 11:22. It says, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. What does that mean? Some of you are like, I have no clue, you know? And it's the reason why we have to dig deeper, that we have to take our time, because if we don't, we could miss out on some potentially life-changing principles. Because see, here's what that really means. This verse is actually a coaching point for all the single people in the room. That if you are not married, this verse is for you. Because here's what it's saying. It's saying that if you simply look at a person or want to hook up with a person because of, you know, how really, really, really good looking they are, you know, if that's the case, just because they're gorgeous, just because of their physical appearance, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says is that you are an idiot. Really, that you are not the sharpest tool in the shed, that you know what, that you are not making a wise decision. And so apparently, you know, in ancient times, men had this problem, you know? In ancient times. I mean, I'm so glad that we actually don't have that issue nowadays, right? Because I don't know of any man who's that superficial or shallow or immature to solely look at the outward appearance, right? Yeah, no. That you see how timeless these proverbs truly are. That the same issues that we deal with today are the same issues that they dealt with thousands of years ago. And we need to make sure that when we read these, that we don't just rush through them. That when we go on this journey together, don't just rush through these proverbs, because you might miss some really important details. As I was researching for this message, I came across some funny news headlines. Thought I'd just share them with you of people who lacked wisdom in looking at the details. Okay, just for fun, here it is: police in Wichita, Kansas, which actually is enough said right there, arrested a 22-year-old man at an airport hotel after he tried to pass two counterfeit $16 bills. All right. Yeah, you're an idiot. A man in Johannesburg, South Africa, shot his 49-year-old friend in the face, seriously wounding him after the two practiced shooting beer cans off each other's heads. These are real news headlines here, guys. And the last one is this: Chico, California City Council enacted a ban on nuclear weapons. Way to go, City Council. That's awesome. Setting a $500 fine for anyone detonating one within the city limits. What? And so the point is that when you're reading them, don't rush through them. You could really miss some very, very important life-changing principles. Here's another important thing I want you to understand. Here it is, number two. Proverbs can confuse us at times because at first glance they can seem contradictory. Let me explain this. We have phrases in our English language that when you put two different phrases together, often it can seem like, well, one of them has to be false because they both can't be true, okay? I mean, there is. And so let me illustrate this, but I'm going to need your help, all right? So I want you to finish off these phrases. Complete them for me, okay? Opposites, birds of a feather. Now think about that. You know, you put those two together and you're like, opposites attract, birds of a feather flock together, you know? Don't they seem to be saying two contradictory things? Is one of them false? No. You know, they can both be true, right? Here's another one. Here's an absence makes... Exactly. And out of sight, out of mind. Put them together, and you're like, aren't they contradicting itself? No, they can both be true. And see, this is a very common writing style. That when you read through this, you're going to see this happen quite often. Look at this next verse here. Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, okay? It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Very next verse. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Now you look at those two statements and you're like, whoa, you know, hold on, you know? Is the Bible contradicting itself? No. What it's actually saying is that both of them can be true, but it depends on who you are. It depends on your behavior patterns. It depends on your experiences. It depends on your weaknesses. Because here's the deal. Some of you, you know, you look at that and you're like, oh yeah, you know. I love to show a fool his folly, right? I love, because you're just the type of person that likes to get in other people's faces, right? Anybody in here? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just kidding. But you might be that individual. And so here's what God is really saying. God would probably want to speak and teach you more through the first one. Where it's like, hey, you know what? Don't even get into that fool's discussion, right? Maybe you're on the other end of that spectrum to where, you know what? You don't say things when you should, right? That maybe, you know, you actually keep your mouth closed. And so you actually should be saying things that are on your mind because they're wise things most likely. And so God would want to teach you more through the second one, that there are times where you need to speak up and say, hey, this isn't right, you know? And that's okay when we do it in a loving way. Point that out. But here's the deal. It's really important for us to keep in mind when we're using Proverbs that we use Proverbs with discernment and discretion. We have to use these things with discretion and discernment. We have to be careful not to simply just rapidly apply these things without fully understanding what they mean. And this is an actual warning in the book of Proverbs. All right? It's an actual warning in the book of Proverbs. Here's what it says. Here's that next verse. Look at it with me. Proverbs 26:9. It says, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Now, evidently, back then, it was kind of common knowledge that drunk people just fell into thorn bushes for whatever reason. I don't know why, but there must have been a lot of them out there. But see, here's what that verse is really trying to tell us. Here's what that proverb is really saying, is that if you use a proverb without completely understanding it or thinking it through, you could actually end up hurting yourself. You could end up damaging yourself just like a drunk person could with a thorn bush. I mean, do you see how that might be a little problematic, you know? Yeah. How many of you guys have ever been to a pro sporting event? How many of you guys? Yeah? Last year, I was able to hang out with my buddies, and we went out to a baseball game out on the West Coast. And it was a whole lot of fun. And for me, you know, I'm a little sick. So one of the things that I like equally as much as watching, you know, the baseball game is actually sometimes watching the drunk people in the stands, you know, because they can do some really funny things, you know. And so at this particular game, we had some great seats. We were sitting behind, we were on the first base line, right behind first base. And there was a bunch of us together and just hanging out. And the batter comes up and just nails this line drive foul ball right at us. I mean, this thing was just clocking, all right? And so I do what any other macho man would do. I duck, right? And so I don't want to get hit with this thing. And so we all kind of duck down. And as we come back up, we kind of turn to look to see where that ball is going to land. And as we're turning to look, we kind of see this guy like start going to protect something, right? And all of a sudden, it just nails him right in the ribs. And the whole crowd is like, oh, you know? It's like, dude! And so it just nails him right there. And so all of us that are there, as well as everybody else around us, just kind of stop watching the game. And we're just watching this guy, seeing whether or not he's okay, right? And so we're like, man, is that dude all right? And so he slowly starts to come. And he's like, I'm okay. And so is the beer, you know? And I'm looking at this dude, and I'm like, man, you don't even realize you just broke like 3 ribs, you know? I mean, that must have hurt. And so this verse is basically saying that if you use a proverb out of context, you can really do some damage. Look at that next verse that's on your outline. Look at that. Because here's what I want to ask yourself. I want you to ask yourself, what is that verse really telling me to do? Okay? Here's what it says. Proverbs 31:6-7. Give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. What is that verse telling us to do? I mean, if you've been reading the paper lately and you kind of see, you know, your housing prices and property values decrease, maybe you're thinking that, you know, after service, we should all just go to the local tavern and just get hammered so we don't have to deal with all of our issues, right? Is that what this verse is saying? No, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying at all. But and I'm not going to tell you what it says because I want you to read it with us, okay? Maybe later on, next couple of weeks, I will tell you what it's really saying. But here's the deal. We have to be sure that we do not take verses when we're reading through Proverbs out of context. and that Proverbs need to be applied with discernment and discretion. Here's the big idea. Here's the big idea of the book of Proverbs. Here's what we've already said. Proverbs is a book all about wisdom. It's all about wisdom. Look at Proverbs 4. It says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And so why is getting wisdom the wisest thing that you could possibly do? Here's why. Because biblical wisdom has nothing to do with your IQ level. Biblical wisdom has nothing to do with how much information you can store in your brain. Biblical wisdom is the ability to make right decisions. That is what biblical wisdom is all about. It's about practical everyday life. It's that we, when we look at our everyday life, our everyday ordinary real life stuff, that we have the ability to make wise decisions, and maybe I'd even look at it and say, what is the God-honoring wise thing to do? That's what we need to come to the conclusion on. That's what Proverbs teaches us to do. I put a book recommendation at the bottom of your outline. It's by a guy by the name of Andy Stanley. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Andy, but Andy's actually, you know, one of my heroes. He really is. He's a great speaker. He's a tremendous author, and he's actually a pastor who runs a church of over 20,000 people. And so here's what Andy says in his book, The Best Question Ever. Here's what he says. He says, in any choice or decision you make, you need to ask yourself the best question ever, which is this. I'm actually going to ruin the book for you if you decide to read it. This is, what is the wise thing to do? That's the best question ever. What is the wise thing to do? Now, notice I didn't say, you know, what is the right thing to do? And here's why. Because every day we have choices. We make choices that are outside the realm of right and wrong. That they have nothing to do whether or not they're morally, ethically, or biblically right or wrong. And yet in every single one of those cases, there is a time or a decision that is the wise thing to do. And the ability to discern that is available to every single one of us as we walk through this series. As you read through the book of Proverbs, you will learn the ability to make wise decisions. I promise you that. And so let me ask you a question. Here's an example, okay? How many of you own a pet as a result of a moment of weakness? How many? I mean, it's almost like, you know, I know that the kids were saying, I'll take care of it, right? I'll feed it. I'll walk it five times a day, you know? And so you've been stuck with this thing for 13 years now, right? Yeah, because of a decision that you made. And so here's the deal. My house, I have one rule on pets. Here's my one rule. No pets until every single person in the house can take their own shower and wipe their own butt, okay? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that is called wisdom, okay? Seriously, because I don't want to be doing it all myself. And so when you are faced with these decisions and choices, ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? Because wisdom, biblical wisdom, is not about information. It's not about your IQ level. It's about practical, everyday choices. Look at that next verse there on your outline, Proverbs 16:16. It says, better to get wisdom than gold and to choose understanding rather than silver. And so for the next 5 weeks, here's what I want to do. I want to invite you guys on a journey for wisdom together. I want to invite you guys to do this with us together, that we can grow together as a church in this area of wisdom so we can learn how to make wise decisions. And so how are we going to do that? Here's how we search for wisdom. Rapid fire, 4 bullet points, really quick. Here's how we search for wisdom. The first one is this. I search by wanting. I seek by wanting. It all starts with a desire. You have to choose to want wisdom. You have to choose to want to go get it, because if you don't want it, guess what? You're not going to do anything to get it. You have to choose to want it. Here's the second one. We seek by watching. We seek by watching. I encourage you to ask God to send some other people into your life who are just a little bit less messed up than you are, okay? I mean, because here's the deal. We're all a little messed up, aren't we? I mean, none of us are totally normal, right? But the greatest thing about this is that there are people in the world that have been through the messes that you have been through, and they can offer insights and wisdom on how to walk you through it. And so ask God to help you through those things. Wise people are just messed up people that have figured a few things out. They really are. Here's the third one. We seek by working. We seek by working. If Proverbs teaches anything, it's that wisdom comes through work. It doesn't come from, like, you know, some supernatural experience where you're just, poof, oh my gosh, I'm wise, right? I mean, ask me a question, right? Come on. I'm super wise. No. It doesn't come from that at all. It comes from work. We have to put in the work, which is why I want to ask you that for the next 5 weeks, that if you will put in 20 minutes a day for 31 days, I want to ask you to read through the book of Proverbs. Read a proverb a day. I mean, we figured it out that if we start with Proverbs 1 on Monday, guess what comes up on Tuesday? Proverbs 2. I mean, there are some really smart people leading this church, okay? I just want to let you know that, really. Because we figured this out. And so here's the deal. Yes, we can get through this. But it's going to require a little bit of work on our part. A little bit of work to do it together. And here's the last one. I seek by waiting. I seek by waiting. Wisdom takes time to develop. Here's how it works. I want it. I watch it. I do the work, I put in the work, and just at the right time, it always seems to come when I need it. That's just how it seems to work. Look at this next verse in James. It says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously without reproach. God says, you have not because you ask not. Ask me for wisdom and I will give it to you generously. How many of you guys recognize this? How many of you recognize that? What is that? It's Cracker Jacks, right? I mean, it's like one of the most beautiful things ever given to man, okay? Seriously. I mean, when I was a kid, I loved Cracker Jacks. And so if you were like me, what did you like more than the snack? The prize, right? Absolutely. And so when I was a kid, I mean, I would tear into one of these things. I'd dump it all out, you know, just to get, or I'd just stick my grubby little hands in there and just grab this prize out because I wanted that prize. And every single time I got one of these, there was a sense of anticipation and excitement and discovery, right? Because what in the world is that prize? And so here's my hope this morning. My hope this morning is that I have created a small sense, just a little sense of anticipation or excitement or discovery of what you could find if you go on this journey with us together. That if you read through Proverbs, I don't care if you're a follower of Jesus or not, it doesn't matter. There is wisdom in this book that we can find together. And so I encourage you, go on this journey with us. You will not regret it. Do me a favor and grab that connection card out of your program. Grab that connection card out. Because here is actually the most important part of the service, right here. Is that I want to ask you to make an action step this morning. And the reason why is because I want to encourage you. I want to pray for you. We want to do this together as a church. And so there's three things that I want you to look and try to commit to on the back of your card. On the back of that card, it says, I will. The first one is this, is that I will attend every one of these services. As much as you possibly can, as we go through the book of Proverbs, I want to do this as a church. I want you to commit to saying, I want to attend all of these services. And so if that's you, if you want to commit to that, just write the word attend on the back of your card. And so here's the deal. If you miss or whatever, no one's going to call you, okay? We're not going to be like, hey, dude, where were you? You know, that's called a cult, okay? And we're not going to do that. But I will encourage you to come and listen to the talks on the weekend. Second thing I want you to commit to is reading through the book of Proverbs with us. Read through that book of Proverbs with us. Again, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. I know that there are things in there that will help you in your everyday life decision-making choices. And so if that's something that you want to commit to, on the back of that card, just say, I will read. Write the word read on the back of it. Because I want to know, all of us that are doing it together, we're going to continue throughout this challenge. I'm going to email people and say, hey, you know what? Will you do this challenge with us so that we can grow in our wise decisions? And the third one is this, is that maybe your next right step, maybe the thing that you need to commit to, is memorizing Proverbs 16:16. Where it says that, you know what, searching for wisdom is better than gold. Maybe that's something that you just need to memorize in your life. And so if that's the case, just write, I will memorize. Guys, I am so excited about this series because we are going to increase the level of wisdom in our church, which means that our everyday choices are going to get so much better across the board. And so I want to do it with you. And so will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for the wisdom that comes from your word, God, that if we will just open it and do the work, Lord, just 20 minutes a day, that we would be able to increase our lives. God, I pray for every single one of us in here, Lord, that we will have that desire, that sense of anticipation, that sense of excitement when we open this to just see what it is that you want to teach us each and every day for the next 31 days.